Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. University Hospitals Kingston Foundation, which supports both Kingston Health Sciences Center and Providence Care, is currently leading a landmark fundraising campaign, with anonymous local donors matching community donations by up to $100,000. The Double Your Donation Matching Gift Challenge runs until the end of the year, with matched gifts supporting the most pressing needs across both Kingston Health Sciences Center and Providence Care. Jeff Donner, Director of Marketing and Communications with UHKF, shared more about the Matching Gift Challenge with CFRC.
A matching gift challenge is powerful because it turns one person's generosity into something bigger. Every gift goes a little bit further instantly because of that matching element. And this time of year really highlights how deeply people in Kingston care about one another, especially when it comes to healthcare, especially knowing that we're entering into a very important era of healthcare in city and in the city of Kingston and beyond.
As Donner mentioned, local healthcare is at a pivotal moment, with local hospitals facing evolving demands and major projects on the horizon.
I think what's new this year is the intentionality behind the campaign. Mm-hmm. The news is definitely out there that land has been put aside for a new hospital and innovation complex. More news to come on that, obviously. But I think the most important takeaway from that is it reinforces how important investment in healthcare is for our region, particularly as we face a very large capital project that will take many, many years to complete. This is sort of our first foray into that type of landscape.
The funds raised through this challenge will also help hospitals respond to today's realities, including growing patient volumes, increasingly complex care needs, and the need for new technologies. From modern equipment and innovative treatments to staff support and system-wide improvements, the campaign helps turn community generosity into direct impact. Lori Fagiani, Director of Engagement and Sustainability with UHKF, emphasized that this is truly a community-driven effort, with donations staying local and directly supporting care close to home.
One of the nice things with working with the foundation is that the funds that we do raise through all of our campaigns and all of the different ways that we raise funds do stay local. So they are here and they are helping our friends, our families, our neighbors. The money that we raise is going to help, you and your family. So that's a really important issue, that knowing that donor donations stay right here in Kingston to help our own community.
Donors can contribute through one-time or recurring gifts by visiting uhkf.ca/give. Once again, gifts made by December 31st, 2025 will be matched dollar for dollar by anonymous local donors, up to $100,000.
As hospitals don't slow down during the holiday. In many ways, needs increase. Community support during this season sends a powerful message to healthcare teams that they're not alone. And I think that's really the spirit of the campaign that we're trying to share with the public is we're here for you. And we invite your support to be here for one another as well through donation and through your participation in our holiday campaign. Every gift helps strengthen care across our hospitals.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it doesn't matter the size of the gift. It's the support. And this is the season of giving. And so big, small, your donations are all greatly appreciated. Again, they will go to support local health care right here in Kingston, supporting our own family, our friends, our neighbors, the people that we know. And that makes a huge difference.
Kingston community organizations are working together to address intimate partner violence in KFLNA through a new awareness campaign. See It, Name It, Change It is an educational campaign encouraging community members to learn to identify harmful behaviors, call them out, and take safe, effective action. The working group behind the campaign came together in 2024, after City Council declared intimate partner violence an epidemic in the region in 2023. The group is comprised of Kingston Frontenac Anti-Violence Coordinating Committee, Kingston Interval House, Resolve Counseling Services, Kingston Anti-Violence Advisory Council, Southeast Public Health, the City of Kingston, and United Way, Frontenac, Lenox, and Addington. The local campaign features photographs of Kingston community members holding signs with the campaign slogan. The photographs, taken by local photographer Will O'Hare, feature an Indigenous elder, a musician, a paramedic, the medical officer of health, a trades worker, the local Canadian Forces Base Commander, a Correctional Services Canada commissioner, an artist, and a Queen student. See It, Name It, Change It launched in conjunction with the Global 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence, featuring the images and resources on social media and local digital displays. Ruth Nordegroff, Director of Community Development and Wellbeing and IIDEA at the City of Kingston, sat down with CFRC to share more about the campaign. For listeners who may not have heard of it yet, what is the See It, Name It, Change It campaign, and what is it aiming to do?
It's actually a campaign that was initially created in the Lanark County. So we are, you know, not that creative. We really build it off their initial campaign. And it's really focused on really education around intimate partner violence and really call people or support people to take action. Obviously, it kind of focuses on not only identifying, but also calling out, changing, and ultimately stopping intimate partner violence in our community.
Mm-hmm. And the campaign uses photographs of community members holding that message. I was wondering why this approach was chosen and what impact you guys are hoping it has.
Well, we want to make sure that it really feels as something that is, you know, touching everybody and everybody should be part of. So we choose, like, obviously some folks that people might recognize in our community. You know, we've chosen, you know, leaders of different institutions, musicians, artists, but also folks that that work in, you know, certain professions like healthcare, trades, education. So we really wanted to make it like diverse and touch on everybody and hopefully also really create some, I would say, recognition in the community around this. And starting a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this has started in other cities. I was wondering if you could speak to why it was so important to bring this to Kingston now.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually something that we've been working on over the last few years. Obviously, I work for the City of Kingston and City Council back in 2023 actually declared intimate partner violence as an epidemic. There's about 100 municipalities that have done the same, and we're hopeful that at some point the province also will take that same approach. So we've, after that, really started to work on how do we bring all the partners together that work on preventing intimate partner violence and also supporting victims and members of the community. And we thought that this campaign would really be a good start to bring this message out in the community in an impactful way.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you've gotten any response, whether it's from folks who participated maybe in taking the pictures or folks who've seen the campaign.
Well, we launched it this week and we've definitely seen some responses on social media. People are really kind of picking this up in a positive way. What we really try to do as well is making sure that there's a link to resources. So if people see this campaign and they may want to learn more, that they actually go to the Kingston Frontenac Anti-Violence website, which has a survivor handbook and lots of other tools for people to educate themselves. So yeah, we've overall seen some positive reactions. We've received some questions around resources for all genders. So it's really good dialogue and conversation.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And where can folks find more about this campaign, view all these pictures, and find resources?
Well, hopefully on as many social media platforms as possible. We really hope it's kind of this opportunity for people to share and reshare these photos. But the different partners that have been working on this are the City of Kingston, the Kingston Frontenac Anti-Violence Coordinating Committee, Interval House, Resolve, the Southeast Health Units, and the United Way. So all those agencies will have these resources on their websites. But ultimately, we really hope that folks are going to the Kingston Frontenac Anti-Violence website, which has all the resources and tools.
Once again, that was Ruth Nordegroff with the City of Kingston on the See It, Name It, Change It campaign here in KFLNA. The working group hopes to expand the campaign to more locations in the coming months. For more information and resources, you can visit kfacc.org. Kingston Health Sciences Center has received $1.8 million in new funding from Ontario Health to expand services at its detoxification center. KHSC's Detox Center is the only publicly funded withdrawal management site between Ottawa and Oshawa, a crucial lifeline for people across eastern Ontario seeking recovery. Without it, many individuals would be left facing risky withdrawal at home, long wait times, or long-distance travel for support. The center currently operates as a Level 2 medically supported model. With this new investment, it will transition to a Level 3 detoxification site, offering 24-hour medical services. The funding will support several major enhancements, including 4 new medical support beds, 24/7 registered practical nurse coverage for continuous clinical oversight, a new nurse practitioner position for weekend coverage, and reclassification of all 22 existing beds as observation beds, allowing the center to fully operate them as intake-ready beds. KHSC's Executive Vice President of Patient Care and Chief Nursing Executive, Jason Hahn, spoke with CFRC about what this expansion means for addiction care across the region.
We now will have 24-hour medical management on site. So with this, we will be having registered practical nurses 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as well as nurse practitioner support on the weekends. Which is a great addition. So patients can present to the detoxification center, and it's voluntary presentation to the detoxification center for safely managed detoxification from alcohol or drugs. What this will provide is that we can medically monitor our patients. We can manage them through medications, through assessments. And when patients are detoxifying, from alcohol or drugs, symptoms can be everything from, fever, chills. You can be quite anxious, restless, and agitated up to and including delirium. And in some cases, you can have increased heart rate and cardiac symptoms. And what we're seeing is there's a lot more toxic drugs out there. And as a result, the withdrawal symptoms are much, much more severe. So this will really help us manage them medically. And what it really will help is, when they enter our detoxification center, they can stay with us. Prior to that, they would have to, if we were not able to manage them there, medically manage them at the detoxification center, they would either have to go to our emergency department at the KGH site to be managed, up to including an inpatient mission to one of our inpatient beds, say a medicine bed at KGH site, or to our mental health and addictions inpatient units. So really providing safe, trauma-informed addiction care and management at the detox center. And as a result of the funding, our goal is to increase the number of patients that we're going to care for in a year by 20%. And we care for about 760 patients now on an annual basis.
This upgrade comes at a critical time. The local drug supply is becoming increasingly toxic, and more clients are arriving at the hospital sicker and with more medical complications than ever before. Overall, KHSC says the enhanced services will help more people withdraw safely, reduce pressure on hospitals, and strengthen the region's addiction care system.
As a result of going from a level 2 to a level 3 now with medical management 24/7, so we built capacity. We have regulated healthcare professionals that'll be on site 24/7. So we're able to provide the care for the patients that present there. So if, for example, in our current model, we could have a patient that's detoxifying and we're caring for them, but but were not able to medically manage them. So, for example, you know, they develop increased heart rate, they become quite agitated or delirious. We would have to transfer them to the emergency department at a KGH. That would include plus or minus an admission to an inpatient unit. So, you know, if you think about that, you know, you provide the care and we're able to improve access. So if you think about it being a voluntary detoxification center, so, you know, patients walk up to the door. I mean, you know, we always request if they call ahead just to make sure, but, you know, you could walk up and knock on the door. And we're able to accept them. And at times now we're saying we don't have capacity and we're not able to manage you, but, you know, please go to the emergency department for care. So if you think about just, you know, providing care and compassionate care for the patients that are struggling with addiction, and addiction is a health issue. So, you know, patients and individuals with addictions to whether alcohol or drugs deserve compassionate, quality medical care.
KHSC hopes these changes will make it easier and safer for people to take that first, often hardest step toward recovery. To learn more about Kingston's Detoxification Center, located at 240 Brock Street, visit the KHSC website. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Lori.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the week. We begin with Monday, December 22nd, daytime high of -2, going to feel closer to -6, a 41% chance of snow throughout the day, but just a small total, a centimeter, maybe 2. Tuesday, December 23rd, slightly warmer, daytime high of 3 degrees, but with the wind chill, it'll feel closer to -3, and a 61% chance of light snow in the forecast. Wednesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, daytime high of -2, but with the partly sunny conditions, it'll feel closer to 0. Thursday, December 25th, Christmas Day. Here in the city of Kingston, we have got a daytime high of 4 degrees with a 62% chance of precipitation, only dropping down to 2 degrees overnight. Friday, December 26th, Boxing Day. Colder here in the city of Kingston, daytime high of 3, feeling closer to -3 with the wind chill, dropping down to -6 overnight, and with a 67% chance of precipitation, that means we could see some icy conditions early Saturday morning. Saturday, December 27th, daytime high of -2 with sleet and freezing rain in the forecast for the afternoon, so be careful if you've got some post-Christmas travel planned. And that extends to Sunday, December 28th as well. Still going to have that mix of sleet and freezing rain throughout the day with a high of -2. And then moving into the start of next week, we have got Monday, December 29th, a daytime high of -4, feeling closer to -9 with an overnight low of -7, a chilly start to the final week of 2025. This is the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week. As a reminder, winter traffic parking restrictions are in effect as of December 1st. This means that during December and March, overnight on-street parking will be banned only if the weather and conditions require it, so if it's particularly snowy or icy, but during January and February, all overnight on-street parking is banned, no matter the weather conditions. It is a short list of road closures this week. Aberdeen, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is also closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. And then in terms of other delays, Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catarocway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect those same delays for flood-proofing, traffic reduced to one lane in each direction. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
This is Christina coming back at you with your concerts and events calendars for this week. Starting off with concerts, if live music is how you're spending the week, Kingston's got you covered. Tonight kicks off smoothly with Jazz Monday at the RCHA featuring Mike Myers and Rick Flanagan, starting at 4:30. Over at the Cove Inn, Kentucky takes the stage at 5, and if you're heading out later, Musiki has live jazz starting at 8. On Tuesday, the RCHA hosts Tom's Tuesday Happy Hour Jam through the afternoon, while Paula Wood and Friends brings things to Time Out Bar at 6. You can also catch Eric and Megan at the Cove Inn if you're looking for something laid back. Christmas Eve offers a quieter musical moment with carols and candlelight at the Spire at 7 p.m. Looking ahead to the weekend, Lucas Oak hits Spearhead Brewery Friday night, and Saturday is packed, including the Cabin Fever Holiday Hoedown with the Adam Knapp Band at the Cove Inn, Django's Kitchen at Musiki, and Dr. Bombay at Tiernanog. Those are just a few concerts coming up this week. You can check out CFRC.ca for our full concerts listings. Now for your CFRC community events calendar. Tonight you can warm up with karaoke at Time Out Bar starting at 6. Or put your knowledge to the test at Trivia Night at Brass Pub or Something in the Water Brewing. Tuesday features the Kingston Public Market at Springer Market Square, along with a community song circle at Kingston Community House in the evening. There's also Christmas trivia at the Mansion if you're feeling festive. On Christmas Eve, trivia and karaoke pop up around town, including at Wild Wing, Jersey's, and Time Out Bar. Later on in the week, Saturday brings another day at the Public Market, plus Vibrant Voices, a song circle for 2S LGBTQIA+ community and allies at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. You can also roll into board game night at Studio 330. Closing out the weekend, Sunday features a blues social and dance at Daft Brewing, followed by karaoke at The Merchant and The Toucan. Once again, those are just a few events and concerts coming up this week. You can check out CFRC's full events and concerts calendars at CFRC.ca. Have an event or concert you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar? You can visit CFRC.ca or check out the link in our bio on Instagram at CFRC Music. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.